family. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Fernando, your host. Today we're going to be reading some famous prayers. A book that's been compiled of some famous prayers throughout the world, through different lands. Let's go ahead and pray the Our Father, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our first prayers are people like John Calvin, John Knox, Ignatius, Loyola. All right, let's go start with John Calvin. Let's see who he was. John Calvin, born in Picardy, France. Calvin gave up his intentions to become a priest after a vision calling him to restore the church to its original purity. During persecution, he fled to Basel and started to write his great work, The Institutes. Settling in Geneva, he embarked on a campaign of moral reform designed to make the city a century of Christian living. By his death, he had total political and religious power in Geneva. The main emphasis in his thinking was on the sinfulness of man, the power of God, and the importance of the Bible. The sinfulness of man, the power of God, and the importance of the Bible, John Calvin. Before reading scripture of prayer, it says, O Lord, Heavenly Father, in whom is the fullness of light and wisdom, enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, and give us grace to receive your word with reverence and humility, without which no one can understand your truth. For Christ's sake, amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray that prayer again, and we'll pray it a little backwards. We'll say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to understand your word with reverence and humility. Help us, for we are helpless without the Holy Spirit, without your help, O Heavenly Father. Help us live a life of full understanding of your wisdom and the light that guide us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, amen. Is that interesting? I didn't know that about John Calvin. And I thought he was in England, too. All right, let me say that prayer again. Now, this prayer is before we read scripture, okay? Here we go. O Lord, Heavenly Father, in whom is the fullness of light and wisdom, enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit and give us grace to receive your word with reverence and humility, without which no one can understand your truth. For Christ's sake, amen. Wow, that's a very humbling prayer. Our next person is John Knox. He was born 1513 of 1572. Amen. He lived about 60 years. The main creator of the Scottish prayer book. Knox was a notary and private tutor before becoming a famous preacher. He was chaplain to Edward VI of England and later came into violent conflict with Mary, Queen of Scots, whom he regarded as a scarlet woman for her worldly life and her Catholic faith. Blessing at a wedding. The Lord sanctify and bless you. The Lord pour the riches of his grace upon you, that you may please him and live together in holy love to your lives, and so be it. Amen. That was a blessing on a wedding. Once again, I'm going to pray it for you, for us. The Lord sanctify and bless you. The Lord pour the riches of his grace upon you. Pour. That you may please him and live together in holy love to your lives, and so be it. Amen. Let's go break the prayer down a little. The Lord sanctify you with the sanctification of Jesus Christ. And now, through the Holy Spirit, he can bless you. The Lord pour down on you gifts, gifts of riches and grace upon you, which is works, which is talents, which is skills and ability, that you may please him and live together in holy love, in unity. Husband and wife, thinking about how can we propel the kingdom of God further. Together in holy love. To live together in holy love to your lives and all the rest of your life. So be it. That's another word for amen. And we all know that. All right, our next person of interest is Ignatius Loyola. You know, we used to hear about these people a lot in grade school, you know, a lot of Hispanic names, you know, and it would brighten up my day. I said, what? This person was in 1491, 1556. I think he's Hispanic. He could be probably French. Let's see. The youngest of 11 children of a Basque nobleman, when I was selling real estate in a man with many years and very concentrated with buying some property, and he looked at me and he said, you're from the Basque region. Look at those eyebrows. Okay, Ignatius was brought up to be a soldier. Convalescing from a bad leg, wounded, received in battle, he asked for some knightly romances to read. Instead, he was given a life of Christ and a collection of the stories of the saints. It was the beginning of a new life. Ignatius spent a year in prayer and penitence, and then began to write his great work, The Spiritual Exercises. After a time of imprisonment as a heretic, he left Spain for Paris to study Latin and philosophy. Gaining his master's degree at 43, in Paris he gathered his disciples who became the core of a new movement, the Company of Jesus or Jesuits. Their aim was to provide a spiritual and intellectual foundation for Catholic renewal in response to the growth of Protestantism. Ignatius was their general, modeling his leadership on military style authority and demanding total obedience. By the time of his death, there were 1,000 Jesuits involved in education, foreign missions, and social service. A leader of iron will, Ignatius was also a man of fervent spirituality. As a student in Paris, he once tried to conjugate the Latin verb amare, to love, but was only able to repeat over and over again, I love God, I am loved by God, I am loved God, I am loved by God. Let's go ahead and practice that with me. There's a blessing over our head that's ready to come down for some of us. And if we repeat these words, we get to get it. Are you willing? Say, I love God. I am loved by God. I love God. I am loved by God. One more time. I love God. And I am loved by God. Okay, I messed it up. There's no and said, I am loved. Again, I love God. I am loved by God. Amen. My recollection now, I did read his autobiography, and I did go to his monastery, one of here in Glendora, California. I think it's still there, or Azusa, California, in the grounds of the Azusa Pacific College, the university there, that I actually went and I applied, and they laughed at me. I left school at 16 and just got a GED. They said I didn't have enough credits to be a janitor. So I was sent to a Bible college in Bassett, California, which is Valinda, La Puente area, East LA. And I went to a college, Bible college there. But getting back to the Jesuits, I read his book and I heard that in order for them to get discipline, they would have to stand half naked on a cold rock on the winter and see if he can pull it off for 8 hours. Something in that nature, so they can get self out of their body and surrender complete loyalty. The other thing, the book they did, they were missionaries. In other words, they would send staff to other countries to help them run their country, to help them get word and knowledge from God and make right decisions. In other words, they were receiving, if you read their fascinating story, and I'm sure there must be a movie out there, preferably the old black and white movies, which they feared God more back then. I think so. And they stuck to the Word of God. That's my experience. I used to go over there and meditate. And I can probably still drive. And I think they closed the Jesuits, and a spiritual thing has evolved there, like other churches have gotten hold of it, or it might be a museum now or something. But I remember sitting there and seeing Jesuits here and there, and you know, you can walk into the entrance, it would look like a big house or a big hotel, and maybe get material and go down, sit down on the beautiful garden. That's where they had the gardens of Glendora and Azusa, where they had thousands of acres where they would raise flowers and plants and so forth. Amen. Let's go back to some more reading. This one's called For Dedication to God. I guess it's by Loyola Ignatius. Teach us, Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek the rest, for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. Amen. I was even praying, Lord, if I give a cup of cold water to one of your disciples, which I believe I did, what is my reward? Am I going to get more insight in the heavenlies, or am I going to get help with my bill over here? Jesus, you got email. You know, I don't know about you, but I like resources. I like rewards. I know about you. I know you're the same. We're all built the same. You know, our Father God tells us, if you do this, you will be rewarded. Amen. It would surprise me when I was the first Christian, when I would go to churches and the guy would say, don't, they would go against what it says in the Word of God. It says, you will be rewarded. It says, don't expect anything when you give. I said, but it says, give and it will be given unto you. What do you mean? Then my mind would say, well, you never were raised poor. You were never hungry. You were never brought up with turmoil and fear and so forth. I think we get a little, what's the opposite of pious when we're up there? Vengeful to the people, domineering. That's one of the reasons the 12-step program, there's no leadership. We take care of that. There's no pride, ego, and all that stuff. We have principles, and anything other than that is your opinion, and we call that, we go right back to the principles. People come and try to change the literature that's been there for almost 100 years, and it has saved 3-4 million people from drinking and drugging. And they bring up a good argument, and they say, well, this isn't good, that's God. But it doesn't help the cookie-cutter mentality like McDonald's or 7-Eleven, where the person can go out of state and be at peace at a meeting over there without the influences of family asking them to drink. Just the other day, I had breakfast with one of my relatives, or lunch, after I called a prayer meeting for our kids. And surprising, about 6 of us were there. And I called at a Catholic church because I knew some of them wouldn't come unless, half Protestants, half Catholics. And we went and we prayed, but we didn't pray their prayers with them. And we noticed that they were trying to evangelize us. It was a little funny. But we all had good hearts. And they set a glass for me. They said, what is this? They're trying to put a cherry glass in there, and they're going to... It was empty, but... And then they got visitors just in time. I mean, I was surprised that they would try that on me. They're always... Oh, come on, go ahead, take a drink. It's all right. Get over it. Relax. It's a good feeling. Hey, it's 2:00 in the afternoon, Besides that, I haven't drank for 30 years or more. Teach us, Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, that of knowing that we do your will. Boy, if that's God's will, how are we going to get rest and heal wounds and look good to others? Come join our group. I got flat tires in my car. I don't know how to pay my bills. Come on now. I like the philosophy of Solomon, King Solomon. They had plenty of resources, but they didn't have the 12-step principles for Solomon to guide him, huh? That would have been good. Now I'm being judgmental and facetious. Let's get back to our reading, please. A prayer of surrender. Take, Lord, all of my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my whole will. You have given me all that I have, all that I am, and I surrender to you all of your divine will, that you dispose of me. Give me only your love and your grace. With this, I am rich enough, and I have no more to ask. Amen. See how it reminds me of the set-aside prayer. There's a famous, good prayer that's going around, and I say it a lot. It says, Lord, I set aside everything I think I know about you, about myself, about my fellow man, and these programs, these words, whatever words may be, that your will may want me to learn for a fresh revelation in your words. Amen. I may start a new prayer, because it is all about allowing words to come into our system and accepting them, right? So let's say it again. Lord, I set aside everything I think I know about you, about myself, about my fellow man. I'm going to drop fellow man, because when I say myself, my fellow man is in me. As I treat myself, I would treat others. If I treat myself with hunger and despair and no prayer, how do you think I'm going to treat others? Okay, let's do that again. Come on, we're on to something. Hang in there with me, please. Say, Lord, I set aside everything I think I know about you, myself, and your word for a fresh new word of revelation that I may accept it and do it for the help of my fellow man. Amen. How about that? And we got it on tape. I love it. That'll be my new prayer. You know why? We're always sifting. We're looking for gold here in this time of meditation. We're looking for easy access to get to God. Not easy, but intelligent, wise access to get. You know, the Word of God says that a wise man will go deep and get the wisdom of his fellow man. And that's what we're doing. The Bible says that kings search out a matter. It's God's business to hide a matter, and it's king's business is to go and search it. That's what we're doing, folks. We're searching for a word for today that will stay with us and make our life pleasing, better, healing, restored, rewarded, weight with love and power and joy and satisfaction, pleasantness, that we may go out there and make a change and a difference in someone's life because we studied and we meditated. We didn't groan and moan and then. There's no television in this house, as you notice. You are my television. Okay, here's some prayers right here. It's God, be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. God, be at my and at my departing. You know, one of the things that brings up to me with these prayers is that we need to live one day at a time. Right now, the presence of God is right now. And to try to imagine the imparting and the, you know, let's say, God, you're in every molecule of my life. They scream, hallelujah. They're dancing. They're singing with song, Lord. Help me to burn that love and the desire in my heart that I have for you today. Help me to be in love with you this day, Lord God, that I may cheerfully touch other people's lives. Move my toes, Lord. Move my feet, my ankles, my enthusiasm. Empower me this day, not only with your presence, but with your gold, with your silver, with your loyalty that you're working with me with signs and wonders and miracles and touching people's lives, healing, restoring, helping their minds think better. Amen. Thank you, God. Notice a lot of people don't call me too much on my friends because they go right to the source. I don't want to hear any violins, I tell them. I don't want to hear you rehashing the past and how this is that you're just addicted to it. You're getting me. What are you doing in your reading? What are you doing on your knees? How much time you spend on your knees calling God to fix you up for this day? Come on now. Let's get excited about this thing. Today, right now, it's excitement. Right now, the presence of God is. Right now, the nuclear power explosion, the fusion is on right now. God, here's another prayer I love. And I'm going to change a little bit. This is on Numbers 6:24-26 says, Lord, the Lord will bless you today. The Lord will keep you this day. The Lord will make his face shine on you today. The Lord is gracious for you now to you. The Lord will make his face shine toward you, smile on you, and give you peace now. You need it right now, folks. We need it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Not sometime in the future. We need to explosively go out there and claim lives. When we pray for others, Psalm 23, we want it to work. We want it to be gone. You know, the reason I'm talking to you is so excited because a lot of things that I prayed for 10, 15 years have come to pass. I don't want to mess with my taxes. I don't want to do the laundry. I don't want to do the cooking. He brought me a prudent wife that does all that. She knows finances. I wanted to be on the cutting edge of trying to give somebody a book at the right time, right place, and that they'd be asking. I know I do. This is a good prayer for us to ask. Ready? Lord, if you want me to receive a word from you, have someone hand me a book or hand me a pamphlet. Hand me something to read that I know you're in it, Lord. And then I may get it, what you want to talk to me about, that I may receive your word in Jesus' name. Lord, give me a word today by someone handing me something. Amen. You know, every once in a while, and I pray that, and for a while there, is that really you, Lord? That's a lot of books there. I went on a trip up north, and I came back with 100 little pamphlets of the grapevine, all nicely categorized by this year. Whew. I got more reading, just like all of us. I need a library. I want to get me a whole library. Montes de Oca Library. That would be cool, huh? All right, here we go. Our last person is Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Avila was born in 1515 to 1582. How many years is that? Okay, that's about 70 years or something. As a small child, Teresa played with her brother at Hermitages, pretending to be religious recluses. Once they ran away to die as martyrs in Morocco. Her teenage years were occupied with fashions and romantic reading. But during an illness, she read the works of Jerome and decided to become a nun. Despite her aristocratic father's opposition, she entered a convent at 20. Convents at this time were very easygoing, and Teresa lived a pleasurable life. But in 1555, she had a mystical experience of God which transformed her life. After being ridiculed by her visions, she founded a new covenant with a stricter rule at her birthplace of Avila in Spain. This was the beginning of a new order, the Barefooted Carmelites. Barefooted Carmelites. That'll get people's attention, huh? Teresa's nuns wore coarse brown habits and sandals, ate no meat, and spent their days doing manual work with Teresa herself shared. Interesting, the word for manual is the words for God in Spanish, you know, manual work. In other words, God is working with us in our hands, which Teresa herself worked with her. She was very careful in selecting candidates. God preserves us from stupid nuns. God preserve us, you know. Amen. There's some people that are not dedicated and they're bound to grind you down. We got to make choices with when people come against our reading time, when people want us to do more work than our bodies are capable. Just because of our kindness, they want us to pick them up from hospitals, do this, do that, and everything. And their dedication is minuscule to working with others. Always coming. Anyway, this morning I had a call. Somebody, hey, I know you asked me to go, and I said, I am not about to do that. Thank you very much. Even though I said yes to a situation that I would go to another state and help you move, I said, hey, what about my dedication to God on Saturday and be ready for seeing my brothers and sisters and family? We're all up in age and we probably got another 10 years before another one of us passes away. 10, 20 years. So I want to make myself available for any family gatherings with my brothers and sisters, which I'm always working on their spirituality too. I give myself away enough in service work that is sometimes I should be resting. All right, enough of that, my rejoicing about my activities. What I'm saying is protect your time like Al-Anon has. If you're doing so much for somebody, go to Al-Anon. They teach you how to take care of yourself and preserve yourself and be happy. Because we're thinking. There's an old Yiddish proverb that I heard. You know, that some of us are so stupid, people are shitting on our heads, and we think it's called a hat. We call it a hat. And if you look one situation after another situation after, how many more can your body take and so forth? You know, rise up and even if you err, you're still taking care of self. Take care of your time, your health, your rest. And if it's anything more than 24 hours, say for instance, in the future, it's probably not God's will. Okay? God's will is today, and be ready for whichever way he takes you. This day is the day of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has given us. Today, right now, rejoice in it. If we take care of today properly, we'll be able to take care of tomorrow's answers to tomorrow's problems. That's the key of 24-hour day living. If we take care of today good, cover it. Okay, take care of ourselves. We'll be able to receive tomorrow's answers to tomorrow's problems. You heard it right here, folks. That'll preach. Amen. Teresa's nuns wore coarse brown habits and sandals. Isn't that interesting? They some kind of dressing was called habits. Okay. Her books... Let's see, God preserve us from stupid nuns was her cry. They could do that much damage. The Bible says that clear away your courts from devious people and you will have a court of justice. Amen. Devious habits or resentful people that can't seem to forgive others and stuff. And are trying to knock us down. We're trying to purify ourselves, you know. Anyway, God preserve us from stupid people. Her books combine a very practical approach. You know what the word stupid is? Not desiring to learn. We're not being ugly. They're not desiring to learn. They're not desiring to prayer, or they haven't broken through or spent the time. When Jesus said, make sure you count the cost. I was thinking about this morning, last night. That is a very hard, hard that probably has pushed a lot of people away from following Christ. He didn't make it. He was as strong. He said, hey, make sure you cost the cost. And I tell myself that, hey, you going to watch that basketball game or are you going to cost the cost? Hey, you going to be entertained by this world's entertainment that they're not living in today? Living in some basketball score? I'm still learning, folks, and I hope I never stop learning. God preserve me from stupid actions is my cry. Amen. Stupid choices that I'm not learning from my past. Her books combine a very practical approach to the religious life with a deep love of God. She died on her way back from founding her 16th covenant. Wow. Silly devotions. From silly devotions and from sour-faced saints, good Lord, deliver us. See how dumb things can get with humanity? From silly devotions and from sour-faced saints. Wow. I got to read more of it and can find out if there's a movie upon her, Teresa of Avila. You know, I always wondered if their prayers are still valid today, if her dedication, her ability to get power and strength and joy from the Lord to do things with her imagination, if her prayers are still valid for us today to receive and... run on that stream, on that open door. Amen. Teresa's bookmark said, let nothing disturb you, let nothing dismay you, all things pass, God never changes. patient attains all it strives for. He who has God finds he lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Wow. Wow. I just answered my own question, huh? My own curiosity. I asked if there's something I can run on. Of all my readings, of all the books, of all the years and stuff, I don't think I have come across this prayer. I have come across many times her name. Let nothing disturb you. Okay, let's go ahead and let's implement this into our mind by saying, I am not letting anything disturb me. I am not letting anything dismay me. I am letting things pass. My God never changes. My patient attains all that it strives for. I have God. I find that I lack nothing. My God alone suffices. And here's another prayer. It's called Christ's body. Christ has no body now on earth but mine. My hands are the only ones that he can do his work. My feet are the only ones which he can go about to the world and dance. Zephaniah 3:17. And my eyes are only through which he has compassion can shine forth upon a troubled world. Jesus Christ has nobody now on earth but me. But my body, individually. Amen and amen. Okay, let's go ahead and finish there. We're giving you some tasks, please. Teresa of Avila. Ignatius Loyola. Ignatius. John Knox and John Calvin. I've seen plenty of stories of these two guys, John Calvin especially. The Lord bless you and keep you, family. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Thank you for being here with me and hanging on there tough and hanging in there long. May the Lord bless us today as we go about and accomplish his duties through us, that he may accomplish what he wants to do through us. Give ourselves willing vessels, not to tear us down, but to build us up with all the gifts he's given us, strength, enthusiasm, joy, and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen. Greetings, family. Welcome to today's podcast. I'm Fernando, your host. Today, we're going to be reading some famous prayers, a book that's been compiled of some famous prayers throughout the world, through different lands. Let's go ahead and pray the Our Father, please. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our first prayers are people like John Calvin, John Knox, Ignatius Loyola. All right, let's go start with John Calvin. Let's see who he was. John Calvin, born in Picardy, France. Calvin gave up his intentions to become a priest after a vision calling him to restore the church to its original purity. During persecution, he fled to Basel and started to write his great work, The Institutes. Settling in Geneva, He embarked on a campaign of moral reform designed to make the city a century of Christian living. By his death, he had total political and religious power in Geneva. The main emphasis in his thinking was on the sinfulness of man, the power of God, and the importance of the Bible. The sinfulness of man, the power of God, and the importance of the Bible, John Calvin. Before reading scripture of prayer, it says, O Lord, Heavenly Father, in whom is the fullness of light and wisdom, enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, and give us grace to receive your word with reverence and humility, without which no one can understand your truth. For Christ's sake, amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray that prayer again, and we'll pray it a little backwards. We'll say, in the name of Jesus, Lord, help us to understand your word with reverence and humility. Help us, for we are helpless without the Holy Spirit, without your help, O Heavenly Father. Help us live a life of full understanding of your wisdom and the light that guide us. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Is that interesting? I didn't know that about John Calvin. And I thought he was in England, too. All right, let me say that prayer again. Now, this prayer is before we read scripture, okay? Here we go. O Lord, Heavenly Father, in whom is the fullness of light and wisdom, enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit and give us grace to receive your word with reverence and humility, without which no one can understand your truth. For Christ's sake, amen. Wow, that's a very humbling prayer. Our next person is John Knox. He was born 1513 of 1572. Amen. He lived about 60 years. The main creator of the Scottish prayer book. Knox was an ordinary and private tutor before becoming a famous preacher. He was chaplain to Edward VI of England and later came into violent conflict with Mary, Queen of Scots, whom he regarded as a scarlet woman for her worldly life and her Catholic faith. Blessing at a wedding. The Lord sanctify and bless you. The Lord pour the riches of his grace upon you, that you may please him and live together in holy love to your lives, and so be it. Amen. That was a blessing on a wedding. Once again, I'm going to pray it for you, for us. The Lord sanctify and bless you. The Lord pour the riches of his grace upon you. Pour. That you may please him and live together in holy love to your lives, and so be it. Amen. Let's go break the prayer down a little. The Lord sanctify you with the sanctification of Jesus Christ. And now, through the Holy Spirit, he can bless you. The Lord pour down on you gifts of riches and grace upon you, which is works, which is talents, which is skills and ability, that you may please him and live together in holy love, in unity. Husband and wife, thinking about how can we propel the kingdom of God further. Together in holy love. To live together in holy love to your lives and all the rest of your life. So be it. That's another word for amen. And we all know that. All right, our next person of interest is Ignatius Loyola. You know, we used to hear about these people a lot in grade school, you know, a lot of Hispanic names, you know, and it would brighten up my day. I said, what? This person was in 1491, 1556. I think he's Hispanic. He could be probably French. Let's see. The youngest of 11 children of a Basque nobleman. When I was selling real estate, and a man with many years and very concentrated with buying some property, and he looked at me and he said, you're from the Basque region. Look at those eyebrows. Okay, Ignatius was brought up to be a soldier. Convalescing from a bad leg, wounded, received in battle, he asked for some knightly romances to read. Instead, he was given a life of Christ and a collection of the stories of the saints. It was the beginning of a new life. Ignatius spent a year in prayer and penitence, and then began to write his great work, The Spiritual Exercises. After a time of imprisonment as a heretic, he left Spain for Paris to study Latin and philosophy. Gaining his master's degree at 43, in Paris he gathered his disciples who became the core of a new movement, the Company of Jesus or Jesuits. Their aim was to provide a spiritual and intellectual foundation for Catholic renewal in response to the growth of Protestantism. Ignatius was their general, modeling his leadership on military style authority and demanding total obedience. By the time of his death, there were 1,000 Jesuits involved in education, foreign missions, and social service. A leader of iron will, Ignatius was also a man of fervent spirituality. As a student in Paris, he once tried to conjugate the Latin verb amare, to love, but was only able to repeat over and over again, I love God, I am loved by God, I am loved God, I am loved by God. Let's go ahead and practice that with me. There's a blessing over our head that's ready to come down for some of us. And if we repeat these words, we get to get it. Are you willing? Say, I love God. I am loved by God. I love God. I am loved by God. One more time. I love God. And I am loved by God. Okay, I messed it up. There's no. And says, I am loved. Again, I love God. I am loved by God. Amen. My recollection. Now, I did read his autobiography, and I did go to his monastery, one of here in Glendora, California. I think it's still there. Or Azusa, California, in the grounds of the Azusa Pacific College, the university there, that I actually went and I applied, and they laughed at me. I left school at 16 and just got a GED. They said I didn't have enough credits to be a janitor. So I was sent to a Bible college in Bassett, California, which is Valinda, La Puente area, East LA. And I went to a college, Bible college there. But getting back to the Jesuits, I read his book and I heard that in order for them to get discipline, they would have to stand half naked on a cold rock on the winter and see if he can pull it off for 8 hours, something in that nature, so they can get self out of their body and surrender complete loyalty. The other thing the book they did, they were missionaries. In other words, they will send staff to other countries to help them run their country, to help them get word and knowledge from God and make right decisions. In other words, they were receiving, if you read their fascinating story, and I'm sure there must be a movie out there, preferably the old black and white movies, which they feared God more back then. I think so. And they stuck to the Word of God. That's my experience. I used to go over there and meditate, and I can probably still drive. And I think they closed the Jesuits, and a spiritual thing has evolved there, like other churches have gotten hold of it, or it might be a museum now or something. But I remember sitting there and seeing Jesuits here and there, and you know, you can walk into the entrance, it would look like a big house or a big hotel, and maybe get material and go down, sit down on the beautiful garden. That's where they had the gardens of Glendora and Azusa, where they had thousands of acres where they would raise flowers and plants and so forth. Amen. Let's go back to some more reading. This one's called For Dedication to God. I guess it's by Loyola Ignatius. Teach us, Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek the rest for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, save that of knowing that we do your will. Amen. I was even praying, Lord, if I give a cup of cold water to one of your disciples, which I believe I did, what is my reward? Am I going to get more insight in the heavenlies, or am I going to get help with my bill over here? Jesus, you got email. You know, I don't know about you, but I like resources. I like rewards. I know about you. I know you're the same. We're all built the same. You know, our Father God tells us, if you do this, you will be rewarded. Amen. It would surprise me when I was the first Christian, when I would go to churches, and the guy would say, they will go against what it says in the Word of God. It says, you will be rewarded. It says, don't expect anything when you give. I said, but it says, give and it will be given unto you. What do you mean? Then my mind would say, well, you never were raised poor. You were never hungry. You were never brought up with turmoil and fear and so forth. I think we get a little, what's the opposite of pious when we're up there? Vengeful to the people, domineering. That's one of the reasons the 12-step program, there's no leadership. We take care of that. There's no pride, ego, and all that stuff. We have principles, and anything other than that is your opinion, and we call that, you know, we go right back to the principles. We go right back to the principles. People come and try to change the literature that's been there for almost 100 years, and it has saved 3-4 million people from drinking and drugging. And they bring up a good argument, and they say, well, this isn't good, that's God. But it doesn't help the cookie-cutter mentality like McDonald's or 7-Eleven, where the person can go out of state and be at peace at a meeting over there without the influences of family asking them to drink. Just the other day, I had breakfast with one of my relatives, or lunch, after I called a prayer meeting for our kids. And surprising, about 6 of us were there. And I called at a Catholic church because I knew some of them wouldn't come unless, you know, half Protestants, half Catholics. And we went and we prayed, but we didn't pray their prayers with them. And we noticed that they were trying to evangelize us. It was a little funny, but we all had good hearts. And they set a glass for me. They said, what is this? They're trying to put a cherry glass in there and they're going to it was empty, but then they got visitors just in time. I mean, I was surprised that they would try that on me. You know, they're always, oh, come on, go ahead, take a drink. It's all right. Get over it. You relax. It's a good feeling. Hey, it's 2 o'clock in the afternoon, you know. Besides that, I haven't drank for 30 years or more. Teach us, Lord, to serve you as you deserve, to give and not to count the cost, to fight and not to heed the wounds, to toil and not to seek for rest, to labor and not to ask for any reward, that of knowing that we do your will. Boy, if that's God's will, how are we going to get rest and heed wounds and look good to others? Come join our group. I got flat tires in my car. I don't know how to pay my bills. Come on now. I like the philosophy of Solomon, King Solomon. You know, they had plenty of resources, but they didn't have the 12-step principles for Solomon to guide him, huh? That would have been good. Now I'm being judgmental and facetious. Let's get back to our reading, please. A prayer of surrender. Take, Lord, all of my liberty, my memory, my understanding, and my whole will. You have given me all that I have, all that I am, and I surrender to you all of your divine will, that you dispose of me. Give me only your love and your grace. With this, I am rich enough, and I have no more to ask. Amen. See how it reminds me of the set-aside prayer. There's a famous good prayer that's going around, and I say it a lot. It says, Lord, I set aside everything I think I know about you, about myself, about my fellow man, and these programs, these words, whatever words may be, that your will may want me to learn for a fresh revelation in your words. Amen. You know, I may start a new prayer, huh? Because it is all about allowing words to come into our system and accepting them, right? So let's say it again. Lord, I set aside everything I think I know about you, about myself, about my fellow man. You know, I'm going to drop fellow man because when I say myself, my fellow man is in me. As I treat myself, I would treat others. If I treat myself with hunger and despair and no prayer, how do you think I'm going to treat others? Okay, let's do that again. Come on, we're on to something. Hang in there with me, please. Say, Lord, I set aside everything I think I know about you, myself, and your word for a fresh new word of revelation that I may accept it and do it for the help of my fellow man. Amen. How about that? And we got it on tape. I love it. That'll be my new prayer. You know why? We're always sifting. We're looking for gold here in this time of meditation. We're looking for easy access to get to God. Not easy, but intelligent, wise access to get. You know, the Word of God says that a wise man will go deep and get the wisdom of his fellow man. And that's what we're doing. The Bible says that kings search out a matter. It's God's business to hide a matter, and it's king's business is to go and search it. That's what we're doing, folks. We're searching for a word for today that will stay with us and make our life pleasing, better, healing, restored, rewarded, weight with love and power and joy and satisfaction, pleasantness, that we may go out there and make a change and a difference in someone's life because we studied and we meditated. We didn't groan and moan and then. There's no television in this house, as you notice. You are my television. Okay, here's some prayers right here. It's God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and at my departing. You know, one of the things that brings up to me with these prayers is that we need to live one day at a time. Right now, the presence of God is right now. And to try to imagine the imparting and the, you know, let's say, God, you're in every molecule of my life. They scream, hallelujah. They're dancing. They're singing with song, Lord. Help me to burn that love and the desire in my heart that I have for you today. Help me to be in love with you this day, Lord God, that I may cheerfully touch other people's lives. Move my toes, Lord. Move my feet, my ankles, my enthusiasm. Empower me this day, not only with your presence, but with your gold, with your silver, with your loyalty that you're working with me with signs and wonders and miracles and touching people's lives. Healing, restoring, helping their minds think better. Amen. Thank you, God. Notice a lot of people don't call me too much on my friends because they go right to the source. I don't want to hear any violins, I tell them. I don't want to hear you rehashing the past and how this is that you're just addicted to it. You're getting me... What are you doing in your reading? What are you doing on your knees? How much time you spend on your knees calling God to fix you up for this day? Come on now. Let's get excited about this thing. Today, right now, it's excitement. Right now, the presence of God is. Right now, the nuclear power explosion, the fusion is on right now. God, here's another prayer I love. And I'm going to change a little bit. This is on Numbers 6:24-26 says, Lord, the Lord will bless you today. The Lord will keep you this day. The Lord will make his face shine on you today. The Lord is gracious for you now to you. The Lord will make his face shine toward you, smile on you, and give you peace now. You need it right now, folks. We need it now in Jesus' name. Amen. Not sometime in the future. We need to explosively go out there and claim lives. When we pray for others, Psalm 23, we want it to work. We want it to be gone. You know, the reason I'm talking to you is so excited because a lot of things that I prayed for 10, 15 years have come to pass. I don't want to mess with my taxes. I don't want to do the laundry. I don't want to do the cooking. He brought me a prudent wife that does all that. She knows finances. I wanted to be on the cutting edge of trying to give somebody a book at the right time, right place, and that they'd be asking. I know I did. This is a good prayer for us to ask. Ready? Lord, if you want me to receive a word from you, have someone hand me a book or hand me a pamphlet. Hand me something to read that I know you're in it, Lord. And that I may get it, what you want to talk to me about. That I may receive your word in Jesus' name. Lord, give me a word today by someone handing me something. Amen. You know, every once in a while, and I pray that. And for a while there, is that really you, Lord? That's a lot of books there. I went on a trip up north, and I came back with 100 little pamphlets of the grapevine, all nicely categorized by this year. Whew. I got more reading, just like all of us. I need a library. I want to get me a whole library. Montes de Oca Library. That would be cool, huh? All right, here we go. Our last person is Teresa of Avila. Teresa of Avila was born in 1515 to 1582. How many years is that? Okay, that's about 70 years, something. As a small child, Teresa played with her brother at Hermitages, pretending to be religious recluses. Once they ran away to die as martyrs in Morocco. Her teenage years were occupied with fashions and romantic reading. But during an illness, she read the works of Jerome and decided to become a nun. Despite her aristocratic father's opposition, she entered a convent at 20. Convents at this time were very easygoing, and Teresa lived a pleasurable life. But in 1555, she had a mystical experience of God which transformed her life. After being ridiculed by her visions, she founded a new covenant with a stricter rule of at her birthplace of Avila in Spain. This was the beginning of a new order, the Barefooted Carmelites. Barefooted Carmelites. That'll get people's attention, huh? Teresa's nuns wore coarse brown habits and sandals, ate no meat, and spent their days doing manual work with Teresa herself shared. Interesting, the word for manual is the words for God in Spanish, you know, manual work. In other words, God is working with us in our hands. Which Teresa herself worked with her. She was very careful in selecting candidates. God preserves us from stupid nuns. God preserves us, you know. Amen. There's some people that are not dedicated and they're bound to grind you down. We got to make choices with when people come against our reading time, when people want us to do more work than our bodies are capable. Just because of our kindness, they want us to pick them up from hospitals, do this, do that, and everything. And their dedication is minuscule to working with others. Always coming. Anyway, this morning I had a call. Somebody, hey, I know you asked me to go, and I said, I am not about to do that. Thank you very much. Even though I said yes to a situation that I would go to another state and help you move, I said, hey, what about my dedication to God on Saturday and be ready for seeing my brothers and sisters and family? We're all up in age and we probably got another 10 years before another one of us passes away. 10, 20 years. So I want to make myself available for any family gatherings with my brothers and sisters, which I'm always working on their spirituality too. I give myself away enough in service work that is sometimes I should be resting. All right, enough of that, my rejoicing about my activities. What I'm saying is protect your time like Al-Anon has. If you're doing so much for somebody, go to Al-Anon. They teach you how to take care of yourself and preserve yourself and be happy because we're thinking. There's an old Yiddish proverb that I heard, you know, that some of us are so stupid, people are shitting on our heads and we think it's called a hat. We call that a hat. And if you look one situation after another situation after, how many more can your body take and so forth? You know, rise up and even if you err, you're still taking care of self. Take care of your time, your health, your rest. And if it's anything more than 24 hours, say for instance, in the future, it's probably not God's will. Okay? God's will is today, and be ready for whichever way he takes you. This day is the day of the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has given us. Today, right now, rejoice in it. If we take care of today properly, we'll be able to take care of tomorrow's answers to tomorrow's problems. That's the key of 24-hour day living. If we take care of today good, covering it, okay, take care of ourselves, we'll be able to receive tomorrow's answers to tomorrow's problems. You heard it right here, folks. That'll preach. Amen. Teresa's nuns wore coarse brown habits and sandals. Isn't that interesting? They some kind of dressing was called habits. Okay. Her books, let's see, God Preserve Us from Stupid Nuns was her cry. They could do that much damage. The Bible says that clear away your courts from devious people and you will have a court of justice. Amen. Devious habits or resentful people that can't seem to forgive others and stuff. And are trying to knock us down. We're trying to purify ourselves, you know. And anyway, God preserve us from stupid people. Her books combine a very practical approach. You know what the word stupid is? Not desiring to learn. We're not being ugly. They're not desiring to learn. They're not desiring to prayer, or they haven't broken through or spend it time. When Jesus said, make sure you count the cost. I was thinking about this morning, last night. That is a very hard heart that probably has pushed a lot of people away from following Christ. He didn't make it. He was as strong. He said, hey, make sure you cost the cost. And I tell myself that, hey, you going to watch that basketball game or are you going to cost the cost? Hey, you're going to be entertained by this world's entertainment that they're not living in today, living in some basketball score? I'm still learning, folks, and I hope I never stop learning. God preserve me from stupid actions is my cry. Amen. Stupid choices that I'm not learning from my past. Her books combine a very practical approach to the religious life with a deep love of God. She died on her way back from founding her 16th covenant. Wow. Silly devotions. From silly devotions and from sour-faced saints, good Lord, deliver us. See how dumb things can get with humanity? From silly devotions and from sour-faced saints. Wow, I got to read more of it and find out if there's a movie upon her, Teresa of Avila. You know, I always wondered if their prayers are still valid today, if her dedication, her ability to get power and strength and joy from the Lord to do things with her imagination, if her prayers are still valid for us today to receive and run on that stream, on that open door. Amen. Teresa's bookmark said, let nothing disturb you, let nothing dismay you. All things pass. God never changes. Patient attains all it strives for. He who has God finds he lacks nothing. God alone suffices. Wow. Wow. I just answered my own question, huh? My own curiosity. I asked if there's something I can run on. Of all my readings, of all the books, of all the years and stuff, I don't think I have come across this prayer. I have come across many times her name. Let nothing disturb you. Okay, let's go ahead and let's implement this into our mind by saying, I am not letting anything disturb me. I am not letting anything dismay me. I am letting things pass. My God never changes. My patient attains all that it strives for. I have God. I find that I lack nothing. My God alone suffices. And here's another prayer. It's called Christ's body. Christ has no body now on earth but mine. Mine, me, my hands are the only ones that he can do his work. My feet are the only ones which he can go about to the world and dance. Zephaniah 3:17. And my eyes are only through which he has compassion can shine forth upon a troubled world. Jesus Christ has nobody now on earth but me, but my body, individually. Amen and amen. Okay, let's go ahead and finish there. We're giving you some tasks, please. Teresa of Avila, Ignatius Loyola, Ignatius, John Knox, and John Calvin. I've seen plenty of stories of these two guys, John Calvin especially. The Lord bless you and keep you, family. The Lord make his face to shine upon you. Thank you for being here with me and hanging on there tough and hanging in there long. May the Lord bless us today as we go about and accomplish his duties through us, that he may accomplish what he wants to do through us. Give ourselves willing vessels, not to tear us down, but to build us up with all the gifts he's given us, strength, enthusiasm, joy, and wisdom. In Jesus' name, amen.